we would see the so-called compounded legal services, where actually the one client will be supported along the way, not by one firm from end to end, but basically different law firms would enter the relationship in different stages. Some of the law firms would be focused on the really the early stage companies. Some of them would be entering in the corporate stage. Some of them would be focusing on the disputes and the arbitration, some of them for the legal text. So we would see clients to be handled by different law firms. But of course, it's a nightmare of each and every client, right, to yes. discuss.
Welcome to The Wired Wick, demystifying tech law trends and educating about law in tomorrow's society. Hello, and welcome back to The Wired Wick. My name is Annabelle Pemberton, and today I'm talking to Marianne Povashnik. Marianne is the founder of Sparring, the chief legal officer at Vacuum Labs, and the co-founder of Trauma. There's some good insights in this episode, both for business leaders and for law students. So for business leaders, there's insights about how the legal profession is going to change and some ways that you can prepare for the future with legal tech becoming more prominent. And then for law students, there's ways you can prepare yourself for the future and really think about the decisions you're going to take straight after graduation. Enjoy the podcast. And as per usual, if you have any comments, feel free to contact me through the Gmail email at thewiredwig@gmail.com. So thank you for joining the podcast today, Mayo. It's a pleasure for you to be here and talk more about perhaps law and entrepreneurship and your path into the legal profession today. So let's first start off with what has been your journey with mixing law and technology together, and how did you get where you are today?
Thank you. Hello, Annabelle, in the first place. Thank you for inviting me for this podcast. So my journey was quite I would say unusual. So it all started with studying law in different countries. I started in Slovakia, but then I moved through Italy, Czech Republic, and ended up in my master's degree at Oxford. Afterwards, I've jumped into the international criminal law in The Hague, and both International Criminal Tribunal for Yugoslavia, or former Yugoslavia, and Rwanda. When I was working for both prosecution and afterwards the judges. So it was kind of interesting experience, but after 1 year in The Hague, I moved back to Slovakia to the corporate law firm where I worked for like 2 years, mostly on M&A deals. Then I switched to this innovation sphere where it's my fifth year right now, I would say. So, and this was heavily shaped by the software powerhouse Vacuum Labs.
Okay, fantastic. And would you suggest this journey to any law student or any lawyer who's wishing to transition into technology and the law to study first and then get the commercial experience and then really go more into law and technology?
That's a good question. I mean, it really depends. For instance, throughout my university studies, I haven't practiced the law because I was heavily involved in the NGO activities, mostly in the debate unions, and we were providing the education for the high school students back in Slovakia and Czech Republic. So after my school, I wasn't quite sure what my journey as a lawyer should be. And therefore, I really tried the different directions, and then I made my choice. However, some legal systems in some countries allow students to actually practice law even besides school as a part-time job. Mm-hmm. But it really depends. For instance, in England, it's not really possible. No. Whereas in the continental Europe, in some countries, it may be possible. So it really depends. But I would say that the sooner the students start to really practice law and gain the practical experience, the better for them to really make a good choice of their prospective and future careers.
Okay, fantastic. Because I think at the moment, legal tech and technology in the law is becoming a bit of a buzzword as well. So myself, I do get messages on LinkedIn saying, oh, do you know any companies that are recruiting straight graduates? And I am quite hesitant because even though I have done that, I am still thinking about going back and qualifying.
I mean, definitely it's always important to work with senior lawyers, attorneys, solicitors at the very beginning, so that you will have an opportunity to learn. I mean, in my corporate law firm, I was basically, there was a policy that always a junior and a senior were sharing one office, one desk, basically. And it was an amazing opportunity for me to literally absorb all the experiences, skills, and knowledge from my colleagues, and we are rotating the offices. So at the very first years, it's very important to be, I would say, in the private maybe practice from my experience, because there is a stronger pressure for the people to really scale their knowledge and experience. And afterwards, people have a decent base to really make the choice of the law or branch of law that they prefer.
So what really drove you to then make the jump and then go and work at Vacuum Labs then?
It's a funny story. So basically, I finished my, I would say, 2 years practice in the corporate law firm. And I basically was envisioning a four-month sabbatical. I wanted to visit Iran and some other places. But the next day, I came to the Oxford Alumni Conference in Czech Republic. I've met with one of the founders of the Vacuum Labs, and we decided we should try together to do some international sales in technology. It was really sounded exciting.
Yes.
So I came to the Vacuum Labs in disguise as a salesman. However, after 3 days, they realized and found out that I'm a lawyer by heart and education and qualification to some extent. So they all the legal agenda of the technology startup that was dwelling there for years basically pop up. And for 6 months, I was doing nothing but law. I came to the point where there was a good proportion between both business development and legal activities within Vacuum Labs.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And then what drove you to actually found sparring as an extra arm or leg of Vacuum Labs?
Sure. So when I came to Vacuum Labs, there were like 25 people. Today, so after 4 or 5 years, there are like 240 people. So it basically 10 times more. And as the Vacuum Labs grew, the legal department needed to scale. So basically, I was able to hire some other lawyers, mostly with the international background. But then I really realized that I will be able to keep those smart lawyers within the company, with one company as in-house under myself, only for a couple of years, because afterwards, after 3 to 4 years, they will lose the challenge. They will basically be able to cover most of the legal agenda, and then they would need and feel the urge to move themselves somewhere else. And then the whole process would start for me. So I knew that for my legal team to be happy, I need to provide them with new opportunities, new challenges. And as Vacuum Labs was always surrounded by other smaller technology innovation companies, and they were basically creating a demand for legal support. So we were able to provide them with a vehicle called Sparring that was able to support them both in the legal, but also in the strategic support.
I know there's also Trauma, which is more relating to trademark registration. But what do both Sparring and Trauma do or provide as services?
Mm-hmm. So Sparring is basically a unique offering for startup innovation companies. There are different types. So first of all, it's the typical digital product startups. Then the digital innovation agencies, such as designers, developers, innovation consultants. Then e-commerce and some innovation companies. Conferences. So these are more VC funds, so venture capital. And these basically groups of clients are serviced and by Sparring. So we do not support nothing else. So there is very little, old-fashioned law. And we support only those companies when it comes to the startup law and startup consulting. Now, what's the startup law, right?
So, yes.
As you said, it's a kind of a buzzword that is very sexy for the legal students. But in general, it's a very unique mixture of different branches, right? So the startup law comprises of software law, of IP to some extent, a little bit of labor, some corporate, a little bit of tax, some data protection, actually heavy data protection. So
yes.
Very, very interesting mixture of different branches. And together we can call it the startup law. Now, what we do, we support the CE-based startups in their global scale. So since we do have we cooperate with the UK and US qualified solicitors, baristas, lawyers, mm-hmm. we are able to support the startups from the early stages in the seed stage within the CE, and then also through the investment rounds and approach and access to the different global markets until they become truly global enterprises. So this is what Sparring does. And it's purely, I would say, legal and strategic support, because very often we do provide them also with the door opening to the VC funds, fast tracks for investments. We do help them with their business models, et cetera, since we do have rather decent experience on this one. Trauma, on the other hand, is that when we established Sparring, and most of us came from the corporate background, we were aware of the drawbacks of the corporate law firms, right? I mean, the corporate law firms have many things done right, mm-hmm. but there are certain drawbacks that are not really fit for the modern world. And Sparring was based and is based on a bit different philosophy. And one of it is that we should really disrupt the legal market that is based on pen and paper approach. We should digitalize, commoditize, standardize the legal services and transform some of them into the legal products. Now, as a part of Vacuum Labs, we are uniquely positioned, since within Sparring, there is a very, I would say, authentic and very rare in the, out there, but it's authentic match between and bound between the lawyers on one hand and engineers on the other. And when bound together, it's a unique mixture you need for building up a reasonable legal tech product.
It really interested me that you're saying about combining lawyers and engineers together as well. And do you think this is going to be something we're going to see more in the future that's going to really change how we see law firms at the moment?
I'm certain of it. Basically, law firms, as we know them, basically consist of just lawyers. And the lawyers cover everything. They cover business development, they cover project management, they cover the legal heavy lifting, they cover key account management, they cover basically everything. They're even steering any innovation that is being done within the law firms. Usually the lawyers suck in the project management and in the and product development and in the sales, et cetera, et cetera. So if you will be able to fill those roles with the people having experience and background with the particular skills required and experiences, then there is a good chance you will be more successful. Law firm of the future would definitely consist of lawyers that are mostly of senior expertise and nature, because most of the stuff for the junior lawyers will be substituted by the legal tech products that are easily basically built. Because they are repetitive, rather easy. So this might be also a challenge for the law students to really penetrate this market, because there will be smaller amount of opportunities for them to really enter the market. But then the law firms shall need to be, especially those that are going to drive the innovation within the markets, will be supplemented by the project management people leading and steering the global transactions. There will be some IT people building up a digital environment for the clients and the lawyers themselves. There will be product management people who will be basically designing and providing the architecture of the solutions. I mean, right now the law firms try to provide so-called end-to-end support or service, meaning they would they ideally want to really get the client at the very seed stage and basically grow with the client until the very, very exit or insolvency or whatever, and be able to be with the client throughout both good and bad days. I would say that as the law is becoming more and more complex, the traditional lawyers are lost because they have no idea how the technology works.
Yes.
The solutions and provisions they propose are completely out of reality, right? So with the specification of the law and the really getting the law more complex, it will be I would say more and more law firms would try to enter the niche industry and stick to that, because they would first of all see that their business and sales activities are more efficient within one industry than stretched across the whole board. But also they will be able to provide a more reasonable business and the pricing for the clients, because they would understand the industry, they would have the ready-made templates, the research would be less time consuming. So also the whole offering would be more advantageous. The one of the reasons why there is so little innovation when it comes to the law is that the regulation basically discourages VC funds and other capital from investing into the legal techs. Only lawyers and only qualified lawyers can be shareholders of the law firms. So basically the law firms cannot basically raise external capital for the development of their technological solutions. And they need to set up a special SPVs for that. And then it's a kind of a gray zone. So the legal regulation right now is very outdated. It only counts with the universe where the only lawyers populate the law firms. But it's not, this is not the case anymore. And we will see it more to come.
I know you mentioned that there's going to be different solutions that are going to replace in some way some trainees that are coming in now. How do you think law firms can really respond to this? Because ultimately having trainees is one way of bringing in new talent into the firm. So how can we have people skilled in the future if we're not going to have trainees because we have solutions to perform their jobs? Do you have any comments on that?
This is a very good question. And I mean, this is one of the greatest challenges the whole industry would face, right? Because right now you can provide junior lawyers with a meaningful tasks where they can really learn and get themselves ready for the more complex agenda to come. But with those legal techs, not really. I believe that law firms would need to cooperate closely with the universities and the basically that they will be able to provide as much practical experiences to the students of law throughout their studies as possible. What I see, and this is a trend, because 10 years ago in most of the countries in the European Union, the education was very, very theoretical. And year by year, I see that the curriculums of the law faculties are changing towards the practice and experiences. So I already see the trend. So it's not that bad, but really the students would need to work hard throughout the university to hone their practical experiences and skills so that they will be able to attract the law firms. And on the other hand, the law firms would need to invest a bit more into the hiring of the particular legal trainees. And probably as you can see even now, if the junior lawyer wants to finish his or her LLM, such lawyer usually says, okay, so the company pays for it or the law firm pays for it, and then I promise I'll stay with the company for another 3 years. So maybe without even LLM, the legal trainees, since will be given a lot of investment from the law firm, that from the outset they would basically commit themselves to work for the law firm for a number of years to come. So maybe such relationships would become more rigid, because each and every trainee would significantly increase the investment cost of the law firm. But there are different tracks in different markets, but definitely junior lawyers, graduates of the law faculties, would have a tougher job to really get into the law firms. And they would be basically forced really to think about other opportunities that are out there.
I have a question for you, whether you enjoy being more of an entrepreneur or working more in business or being a lawyer, or do you see them same thing? Because it's interesting to see sometimes that people think that lawyers cannot be entrepreneurs. So what do you think about that, and which way do you consider yourself?
Well, it's a tough question. I definitely started and years back I was lawyer 100%, but then through Vacuum Labs I got this opportunity to really transform certain part of my skills. I love this basically every day. So some of them are of legal nature, of course, but it's usually high level. Very, very rarely I'm right now involved in the drafting of some legal document for Vacuum Labs or whatever. Usually it's just the quality assurance and some consulting and supervising of the of the everyday delivery. Mostly right now, I'm mostly involved in the business and the strategic growth of both trauma and sparring. And when it comes to my free time, I lead the NGO activities, basically trying to change and basically adapt the legal regulation in Slovakia to the modern standards. So it's very diverse, and this diversity makes me happy. But it really depends. I mean, there are people and good friends of mine who are heavily invested in one particular branch of law. They are lawyers 100%, and they are perfectly happy with that because they do have this certainty that I'm good at something. I'm an authority of something. I'm drafting the legislation. I'm writing the commentaries to the local legislation. So I'm esteemed solicitor. And this is also the viable position that basically significantly enhances the opportunities for such people to really adapt either within the academia or the national legislation or also in the business. So there are different paths. There is no one, I would say. And each junior lawyer or graduate should really think twice to understand herself so that the choices would be done wisely. Actually, seeing these days is that many more and more young people want to have some impact. They want to do something impactful to the society. They want to really benefit and basically provide some support to the overall society. And this might be rather tough from the point of view of the law firms that are heavily focused on the basically revenue and profit generation. There is also some pro bono agenda that covered, but people seeking a really meaningful legal job, maybe the corporate law firms might not be the best place for them. And for such people, actually disrupting the legal market from the side of the legal tech startups might be a way out.
Yes, I completely agree. And I think that's something for me, working in a startup has allowed me to think in completely different ways about my job, about how I structure my working different hours. It's not straight 9 to 5. I can work when I like and you still get the work done, but the value you provide is just, it's different to how you would normally. So I completely understand that.
This is a good point you made. I mean, most of the law firms are very conservative when it comes to the working habits, when it comes to the remote work and flexible hours and the tools you use. And they are, most of them, most of the magic circle and all others are very, very conservative when it comes to that. And within the startup, you can have a gain, actually completely different optics and the angle when it comes to the work-life balance, when it comes to the habits, as you said, the structure of the day. So, and yeah, I mean, especially for a graduate, it's great to really be able to cover as wide horizon as possible so that they're aware of the particular opportunities they may face and then to make a good decision.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming onto the podcast today. I've definitely learned a lot about this area of the law as well and how it's going to be really changing over the next few years with services and businesses like this. So thank you for talking to me about it.
Abel, thank you very much for the invitation. It was my pleasure.
I'm Annabelle Pemberton, and you have just listened to the Wired Wig podcast, available on Spotify, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts. As always, if you liked what you just heard, be sure to follow this account on Spotify and follow the Wired Wig on Instagram for the latest tech law news and updates.